We are now 21 days into a partial government shutdown, a crisis that started over a fight about a border wall. Today, federal workers who have nothing to do with that issue will miss their first paychecks.
And President Trump is weighing advice that he act unilaterally to end the shutdown by declaring a national emergency, something that would be challenged in court. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us today. Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor for Telemundo and NBC. He's in Miami. Hi, Jose.
How are you? Good to see you. It's
good to have you. And Chad Pergram, Capitol Hill senior producer for Fox News. Hi, Chad.
Gentlemen.
So, Chad, you are on Capitol Hill. There are no negotiations underway. Both sides entrenched. What is the mood? What is likely to happen?
Well, nobody really knows how to get out of this cul-de-sac here. And in just the past couple of minutes before we went on the air, the House of Representatives has approved the fourth spending bill that covers four of the seven outstanding spending areas here. This one dealt with the Department of Interior. The Democrats are trying to go through these seven appropriations bills and reopen these sections of the government. The vote here was 240 to 179. There were 10 Republican defections. Now, Democrats are trying to put pressure on Republicans to vote for these bills, but we've had votes of 10 Republicans, 12 Republicans, and 10 Republicans on each of these these bills the past couple of days here, so they're not really getting much traction there. Lindsey Graham, the Republican senator from South Carolina, he was trying to cut a side deal, maybe get some more border wall funding and work out a more universal agreement on immigration and DACA. And he was sidelined yesterday by President Trump. Lindsey Graham said, quote, "I have never been more depressed about moving forward than I am now." This is really remarkable. Marco Rubio, the Republican senator from Florida, said that the problem here is that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, and President Trump all think they're winning. And a lot of people think that nobody's winning in this.
All right. Well, Lindsey Graham says it is now time for President Trump to declare that national emergency because, as you say, there is no other way out of this impasse. Here's what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says that would mean.
I think he's going to have to answer to his own party on usurping that much power. But again, I'm not going down a path until we see what it is he's willing to do.
Jose, how much closer are we today to the president making that decision?
I think closer and closer. And meanwhile, people are suffering, not only the 800,000 federal workers who have directly been affected. I mean, you know, we're coming up on, 22 days coming up soon. And for example, look, I'll give you an example. Miami International Airport has announced that they'll be closing one of their terminals this weekend so that TSA agents, the ones that continue to go to work, even though they're not getting paid, can go to other terminals that are more, busy during this weekend. But we're, you know, this is happening at a time when people, 80% of the American people, don't have savings in their account to be able to withstand being unemployed. And so, this is happening, and it seems as though, as Chad was saying, I mean, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats seem willing to budge on this issue. And I don't know how anything can be solved.
You know, it's pretty clear that they can't find a way on Capitol Hill and with the administration out of this cul-de-sac. And I want to go back to one of my favorite quotes of all time. And it was from Harold Macmillan, who was the British prime minister back in the 50s, early 60s. And he was speaking at Oxford and was famously asked, "What's the most important factor in politics?" And he said, "Events, my dear boy, events. When you talk to people here on Capitol Hill and there is no obvious way out, they will concede you that some sort of an event will be what resolves this."
Like that declaration?
That could be one event. It could be an international crisis. It could be, God forbid, some issue with the food supply. We've heard about the FDA not doing full food inspections, transportation issues, airline issues that we've discussed. It could be any one of those things. You know, when we had the shutdown in 2013 over Obamacare, what got people to the table was there was this wild car chase and shootout with the U.S. Capitol Police here. There were a couple of the officers who were injured in a minor fashion, and here they were working on the job, protecting the U.S. Capitol and not getting paid. And after that event happened, that got everybody back to the table, and they reopened the government just a couple of days
later. We were talking today about how this whole situation has completely changed the view that Americans have of the TSA. People are going up and hugging TSA agents as they go through the airport, thanking them for working without the promise of a paycheck, without a paycheck today. I just want to listen to something that President Trump said this week. He said that he'd never campaigned. Well, of course, we're talking about this because he wants Congress to pay for the wall. He says this week that he never campaigned on Mexico paying for the wall. Here he is.
when during the campaign, I would say Mexico is going to pay for it. Obviously, I never said this and I never meant they're going to write out a check.
Okay, you can go back to every rally that he held, but there's also this moment from a Fox town hall with Sean Hannity on April 13th, 2016. Listen.
100%.
They're not going to write us a check, but...
They'll pay. They'll pay in one form or another. They may even write us a check by the time they see what happened.
Chad, what about this? How can he say now that he never said that Mexico was going to pay for the wall?
Well, it isn't the first time where there's been inconsistencies in what the president has said. You know, in this whole idea that this new trade agreement that he has worked out with Canada and Mexico that would overtake NAFTA, there's been an agreement between the three countries here, but this has to be ratified by Congress. And they are nowhere near getting that through. These trade agreements are always dicey at best. Nobody really sees how they're going to go, you know, how they're going to get that through, if that's going to be the supply that gets things in there. You know, and at the end of the day, it comes down to what people are seeing on the ground. During that debate this morning in the House on the Interior Appropriations Bill, Jared Huffman, who's a Democrat from Northern California, the Bay Area, Marin County, he said maybe the president can get the wall from all the garbage that's piling up in these national parks. He said there should be enough there to be able to build a wall with that.
Nothing in this NAFTA 2.0 talks about money being allocated towards anything other than the NAFTA agreement.
Jose, big news in the Russia investigation this week. Former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen said he's going to testify publicly to the House Oversight Committee next month. And this is before he goes to prison for federal crimes, including making illegal payments to silence women during the 2016 presidential campaign and lying to Congress about the Trump Tower Moscow project. His legal advisor, Lanny Davis, spoke on MSNBC.
He wants an opportunity to at least tell the truth about what it was like working for a man in the private sector who lies, acts immorally or abusively, and has no barriers on ethics.
I predict we are going to be very busy in early February when this happens. A big day on Capitol Hill.
I also predict huge ratings for the television networks that decide to put this on, because this is going to be fireworks that one is going to be very interested to watch. And not only at the chair that Elijah Cummings is House Oversight Committee, but then, you know, Jerry Nadler is saying that he'd be interested as the chair of the Judiciary Committee to have Cohen testify afterwards. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm not sure how much more this is going to contribute to our knowledge of, Russian interference in the 2016 elections, but it certainly will make some very interesting news.
What about
and the flip
other,
side yeah, of that ahead, is, Chad. Does it live up to the hype? You know, at the end of the day, when Elijah Cummings announced the hearing yesterday, he was questioned about this in the hallways here at the Capitol by reporters, and he announced three hearings, including the Cohen hearing at once. Mm-hmm. He said, well, wait a minute. He said, these are just one of three hearings that we're having. Yeah. We're also having one on government transparency. We're also having one on prescription drugs.
Why don't you care about those?
Right. Yeah. Democrats realize that there's going to be, you know, peril in this if, A, it doesn't live up to the hype, or, B, it is so hyped up that everybody's focused on this and the Democrats are interpreted as overplaying their hand. That is a risk for the Democrats here.
What about the other big news in the Russia investigation this week, that former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort admitted in court filings that he shared campaign polling data with Russia-connected oligarchs? Here's Mark Warner, the vice chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee, on CNN.
What did Donald Trump know about this exchange of information? You know, did the Russians end up using this information in their efforts that took place later in the fall, where they tried using the Internet Research Agency and other bots and other automated tools on social media to suppress, for example, African-American vote?
So this is probably the closest thing, Jose, that we've heard to collusion. Yet Democrats remain cool on impeaching the president.
Yeah. Why would anybody working for a campaign share internal information with, someone not related to it? That's just very odd. And there's something really odd behind this. It's interesting because that's what Manafort, his modus operandi was in his professional career. But if so, this is a guy that... pretty incredible to see this thing happening, you know?
What folks notice about the impeachment question, too, is that Nancy Pelosi has been here before. when she became the speaker back in 2007, one of the first things she said about, you know, calls on the left liberals to impeach President George W. Bush, she said impeachment is off the table. Now, she's been trying to douse those flames in her own caucus right now. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, even though they elected a lot of new liberal Democrats in the House of Representatives, there are also some conservative Democrats. I would look at Joe Cunningham from South Carolina. I would look at Jared Golden from Maine. Votes for impeachment or anything like that are not good votes for them. And that's why there's going to be, you know, this shoving match inside the Democratic Party of how to approach things with President Trump.
Well, and you know what will be interesting next week? William Barr's confirmation hearing to be the next attorney general. So we will probably hear how Democrats are going to approach asking him whether he'll protect that investigation.
Chad, isn't it amazing how we've come to a situation in this country when we're talking about this?
Yeah. Indeed. Jose Diaz-Balart, news anchor for Telemundo and NBC, and Chad Pergram, Capitol Hill senior producer for Fox News. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.